ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In humanity's next giant leap, astronauts are heading back to the moon for the first time in more than 50 years.
And here we go.
The Artemis 2 mission might launch from Cape Canaveral tomorrow morning. That's for us here in Australia. But when it does, we'll be here to give you daily mission updates as the astronauts fly around the moon and head back to Earth.
Boosters in ignition.
This is Artemis Explained for Science Friction on ABC Radio National.
We rise together back to the moon and beyond.
I'm Belinda Smith, and joining me is my colleague and space nerd, Jacinta Bowler, who's covering the Artemis mission for ABC Science. Hello, Jacinta.
Hello.
Now, I say might launch because we won't actually know if it'll lift off until tomorrow. But if the first launch attempt is successful, when will it happen?
Yeah, I think we're all going to be very carefully monitoring tomorrow morning. So there's a two-hour window. It's from 9:24 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. It may be pushed back, but fingers crossed, that's when it lifts.
It's a very reasonable time for us too over here on the East Coast. It's great.
I think it might be the only, Australia might be the only good time zone for this.
For once. All right, let's get straight to the point. What is the Artemis mission?
Yeah, so the Artemis mission is a trip to the moon. It's not landing on the moon, but it is going around it, and it's the first time that anybody has done this in about 50 years, which is incredible. So the Artemis program, more generally, it was established in 2017. The whole idea was that America wanted to go back to the moon and more specifically have a longer-term moon base. So that is not what we're doing here. We really are just doing a little flyby, but hopefully in the next few years we might be seeing more permanent bases on the moon.
I mean, having a moon base sounds kind of cool, but what use is that?
Yeah, so the idea is once we get back to the moon, then we can go further from there. So potentially be able to go onto things like Mars and maybe even further afield, which would be really cool. Until recently, there was like a shuttle that would go round the moon. There was ideas for that, but that's just been canned recently. So, you know, there's still things in the works, but I don't know how likely it is they're going to get to Mars in the next 2 years. So don't get yourself excited.
I won't hold my breath for Mars. Now, as you mentioned, this is the first moon mission in more than 50 years. But we've been to the moon before, quite a few times, actually. People have walked around on the moon, driven golf buggies, hit golf balls, that kind of thing. Why go back?
Well, I mean, it has been a really long time. It's been long enough that it's actually an issue for people to get back again. So they've had to do all of this rejigging and re-engineering to be able to get themselves back to the moon just because it's been so long since they've done it. So like compounds that were made for the early moon missions had to be re-engineered for new safety regulations and things like that. The engineers that were doing this in really old times have all retired. And so they've had to get that knowledge back. And, you know, it wasn't on a hard drive, for example. It was all in paper. It is actually really hard to do even now. 50 years later, it is still difficult to do. And the moon wasn't seen as a priority for a really long time. And that's understandable. You know, we had the ISS. We kind of had this other space mission, which is a lot easier to do and a lot less technically difficult. But there is kind of now a second space race happening. So countries like China and India and companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin are all getting in on it. Everybody wants to go to the moon. And the reason for that is because the first people that arrive and settle it, kind of in these longer term moon bases, are likely to have more ability to define how activity, like for example, mining, is going to be carried out. And the US are trying to get in on the front foot.
So physically getting there will help shape what the moon is used for.
Yes.
And it will be to the company or the countries in their best interests, I suppose.
Yeah. And it might not be the moon that's the thing that's going to be, because, I mean, the moon doesn't have a lot going on with it. It kind of is just a big, it's beautiful, but it's a big rock. It's kind of, you know, the stuff that the regolith, which is the dirt that's up there, is really hard, gets into everything. It's difficult. But things like asteroids may have a lot more material that may be able to be mined effectively, but doing any kind of space travel and any kind of moon base will help that stuff in the future.
Hmm. Are there some actual, you know, nice science-y reasons to go to the moon?
There's always science-y reasons to go to the moon. Yes. So one of the four astronauts that are going on the mission had this to say about it.
really the question is not should we go, but should we lead or should we follow? That's how I see it, because everyone, many, many countries have recognized the value that there is in exploring further into the solar system, to the moon and onto Mars. They've recognized that not only can we gain all these extremely tangible benefits, but that we have the opportunity to answer the question that could be the question of our lifetime, which is, are we alone? When we go out and meet people, people ask that all the time. Have you seen evidence of this? What can we learn? And the fact is that answering that question starts at the moon. The moon is a witness plate to our entire solar system's formation. It's a stepping stone to Mars, where we might have the most likelihood of finding evidence of past life. But it's also a Rosetta Stone for how other solar systems form.
Okay, so that was one of the astronauts. Who was that and who's going with them?
Yeah, so that is Christina Cook. She is one of the mission specialists. She will be the first woman to go around the moon, which is pretty cool. The other three, there's Commander Reid Wiseman, pilot Victor Glover, and mission specialist Jeremy Hansen. So Victor will be the first person of colour to go around the moon, and Jeremy will be the first Canadian and first non-American person to go around the moon as well. So there's a lot of firsts in this.
Also, and this surprised me, he's never even been in space.
For me, I haven't lived in space for over 6 months like these three have, and so I won't know how to float and fly, and I'll be a bit clumsy up there. So I know that's going to be hilarious and annoying at the same time.
Such a Canadian response, my goodness.
Be a bit clumsy.
Yeah. But as of this week, we found out that there's going to be a fifth crew member on the mission, haven't we?
I think it might be the cutest crew member of all. Is that okay to say? I don't know.
Cuter than Jeremy? I don't know if that's possible.
Okay, so the fifth member is a zero gravity indicator. So it's called RISE. It's a tiny soft toy. It looks like a moon with an Earth baseball cap on, and it's really cute.
What's a zero gravity indicator?
Yeah, so a zero gravity indicator is something. It doesn't really matter what. In this case, it's a plushie. And basically, it rises up when they reach, probably not zero gravity, but microgravity, when they're suddenly weightless. And the idea is that you can physically see this. The astronauts can see it as well. But also, you know, if you're watching a video feed or something like that, you can see from home that they've reached the point of weightlessness.
Would we not see their hair or even the astronauts, are they strapped in at that point?
Yes, they are definitely strapped in. And most of the things will be strapped as well. You don't want
stuff flying around
while you're taking off on a mission. That is, everything is perfectly put in its place.
Just reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons when Homer accidentally smashes open the ant farm.
Let's not do that in space.
Okay. All right. So we know who's going and we know why they're going. Now we need to know when they're going to go. So the earliest possible time is 9:24 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. But that might not happen, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that could go wrong between now and then that mean that they have to push this back. I've been very frantically watching the news conferences every day, and there's things like they're checking the weather, they're checking the space weather. The other day there was a solar flare that came towards Earth, so they had to make sure that wasn't going to affect any of the mission. There's also anything to do with the spaceship itself. So we've had a couple of false starts in the last few months, and the reason for that is because of hydrogen leaks. So hopefully they're all fixed up, but if they find any hydrogen leaks, they may have to scrub the mission again. Currently, there's a couple of different days where it could go. So we've got, 9:24 tomorrow, our time. That's early evening local time in Florida. But there's also Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday Australian time, and also the 1st of May, if all of his other dates fall through. So there are lots of options that they can pick in case something needs to happen.
Just going back to the hydrogen leak, where's the hydrogen leaking from and why is that a problem?
Yeah, so in a spacecraft, instead of using regular fuel, they use hydrogen and oxygen to be able to create this huge amount of energy to be able to get the spacecraft into space. And in this case, the hydrogen was leaking from the fuel tank, which you obviously don't want. You want the fuel to go where you want it to go. And so they've done a lot of work to be able to try and fix this and get it under control. They're not doing a wet dress rehearsal, so we don't know if that's been fixed, but, all signs point to it should be okay, and we'll find out when they fuel the hydrogen again.
Wow. Yeah, hydrogen is such a small molecule. It's quite slippery, isn't it? So if there's any little crack or crevice, it will find its way out. But can you just remind me again, what is a wet dress rehearsal?
Yeah, it doesn't sound
good. Sounds gross.
Yeah, it sounds really bad. So it's basically when they put the rocket on the launch pad, everything's ready to go, they fill it all the way up with its hydrogen and oxygen, make sure everything's ready, and then they count down as if it was an actual launch, doing everything that they would until they get to the end point and they stop it, and then the tanks get emptied and they go home.
Oh, so they go all the way up to the point of...
of launch.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So if you watch the wet dress rehearsal, it's quite fun. They actually count like the T minus, you know, whatever time. But then during it, sometimes they'll pause it and be like, hold on, we're just doing a test. It'll be like T minus 10 minutes for like an hour while they're fixing stuff up.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we don't get that this time.
No. Yeah. I believe it's because they have done two already. They're hoping that things have been fixed.
Oh, okay. So they've done wet dress rehearsals, but before scrubbed launches in the past.
Exactly.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Commander Reed Wiseman seemed to lower people's expectations ahead of the launch windows coming up. This is what he had to say.
Just to remind everyone, this is a test flight. This is the first time we're going to try this. This is the first time we're loading humans on board. And I will tell you, the four of us, we are ready to go. The team is ready to go and the vehicle is ready to go, but not for one second do we have an expectation that we are going. We will go when this vehicle tells us it's ready, when the team is ready to go. So we might go out to the pad and we might have to try again a few more times, and we are 100% ready for that.
Can we just talk a little bit about launch windows? Like, why do we have these set periods of time where a rocket can be sent to the moon? What, can't we just point it at the moon and just, you know, hit the button or light the fuse?
Please don't do that. That sounds like a terrible idea. Okay, so the reason why you can't do that is because the launch dates are specifically timed to match when the Earth, the moon, and the sun are aligned. The moon moves, right, from Earth. We are going, and we will actually, when they launch it, they actually go in the wrong direction because they need to catch the moon as it's going. So they're heading in this particular direction. The moon is not there yet. Eventually, they will get there. And they will slingshot themselves around the moon and then head back again. So the reason why you definitely don't want to point it in the direction of the moon is because if you did, the moon would be long gone and you'd be sailing off into space.
Ah, okay. That's why I'm not a NASA engineer. All right. So what are the astronauts doing now as they're just sort of waiting for launch date?
You'd be so nervous, wouldn't you? Oh, you'd just be sitting there.
I'm nervous for them.
I'm nervous for them too. So they've been in quarantine for the last 14 days. You obviously don't want a sick astronaut up there on a mission. So they put them all in quarantine for 14 days, make sure they're all well. They still do their training. They do simulations of launches and re-entries. They have all of that stuff there. But it's actually quite fun. So some of the astronauts have been posting photos from their Instagram of what they've been doing.
So Christina Cook posted on Instagram her to-do list for tomorrow, and it included things like French braid hair, which is, you know, it's the hairstyle you want when you're going to space. You don't want any flyaway bits getting to your eyes.
Absolutely.
Be in rocket on time, very important. Be ready to react to issue. Activate space water and toilet. Oh, my goodness. There's a couple of naps in there as well, and a translunar injection burn to the moon. So that is quite the to-do list. It puts mine to shame.
That's a big day, isn't it?
And, you know, she's not the only one with pre-launch rituals. Her fellow astronaut, Victor Glover, he's got a few.
Because that schedule is so tight, there is not a lot of time for, like, personal rituals, I would say. But before I fly an airplane, I generally say a very short prayer, and then I try to send my family a note to tell them that I love them. And so one of the neat things about this is a tradition we started is our families are outside the building when we walk out. And so that is the moment that I'm going to get to tell them I love them instead of sending a text message or a phone call. And then that way I can focus on that timeline and making sure that the launch control team is not waiting on us, the crew.
Okay, so it sounds like until they do launch, the astronauts will be sitting around waiting, praying, braiding their hair, whatever it is. When they do launch, we'll be back with another episode of Artemis Explained that very day, and we'll have a chat about what happened.
Yeah, we're going to be here very early tomorrow with chocolates and fishtail braids.
Delicious. But in the meantime, we want to hear your questions. What do you want to know about the mission or life as an astronaut or even just questions about the moon? We want to hear them all. Email us, sciencefriction@abc.net.au. This episode was made on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Gadigal people. It was produced by Shelby Traynor and Patria Ladgrove. I'm Belinda Smith.
And I'm Jacinta Bowler. Catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.